In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 11, the Lord petitions in prayer his Father. And he says, Holy Father. At first, there may not be much of a distinction in your mind. You think that that is just an appellation, something that we attach, like my beloved brother. But it's not. Holy is something that is completely apart. That is completely apart. When St. Paul says that he has been made holy concerning the gospel of the Lord, it means that he has been made exclusively for that gospel and nothing else. It is a condition that if you desire it, you must limit strictly the use to which you will allow yourself to be put. You cannot, if you are to be holy, cross the line at any time, because then you are now profane. There is only the sacred and the profane. There is the holy and there is the worldly. The things of God, the things of man. When Jesus Christ calls his Father holy, he is talking about something that is so far beyond our ability to comprehend, that exclusive state. We render it almost as a casual appellation, as I have said. We say to a bishop, or sometimes even to a priest, Yotzik. It's a bastardization of the meaning of the word. It's a horrible, terrible use of the word. Because there isn't any man, isn't any human, other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who was ever completely holy. It's an approximation at the very best. But then he says, Father. Now, Father is imminently approachable. So you have something on one side that cannot be even talked about with our vocabulary. And by the way, I wish to tell you something. When Jesus Christ is praying and we have someone who has listened and who has brought it down to us in Scripture, that's not the way that Jesus prays. He is praying that way to instruct us how to pray, because that is all that we are capable of doing at this time. When Jesus Christ praised, can you imagine for a moment that no words are used? That's how you form your every thought, isn't it? You have to have words. You are incapable of describing a state without words, but that's not the case for God. When the Lord is speaking to his Lord, oh, the angels tremble. The angels tremble. I spoke about this yesterday at the funeral of Uncle Fatih Baktor. And I said, when the angel went into the tomb and saw what he saw, he sat down. Angels don't need to sit. They never get tired. Standing, sitting, flying, it's all the same to them. There's no fatigue. There's no preference. There's no like, I've been in this position too long. I've been in this position like, say, 1 billion years. Every billion years I want to stretch my wings. It's not a character trait of angels. It's humans I speak of. The Lord, when He speaks, He's trying to instruct us. On the one hand, yes, we cannot approach God. We cannot approach God. The God, our God, is a flaming fire. The Hebrews love the concept of light. God is light. We say Nur min Nur about the generation of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. He is light from light. But He is this pure light. This light that burns with an intensity that no one can behold. Just as an aside, back in the 60s, there were people who took drugs and they wanted to stare at the sun. And as they did so, they burned a hole in their retina. And so then, from then on, all they had was a little bit of peripheral sight. They couldn't look at anything straight on and see. That's the sun. The Lord holds the sun in His hand as though it were nothing. The light that emits from God is so great, one can scarcely think of how to express. But then we have Father. And I speak to you because this is Father's Day. And it's Father's Day in the sense of God the Father Almighty. Now, God the Father Almighty was, for example, to my wife, someone that was completely unattractive in the Old Testament. Do you know what God the Father Almighty told the children of Israel who had left Persia, the Babylonian Empire? Not everybody left, by the way. Some preferred Persia. Some of the Jews stayed. But those who went, those were the ones who were going to reinvest in everything Jewish. They were the most zealous. It included Nehemiah the prophet and Ezra the prophet. And when they arrived, they were told, get rid of your wives who are foreign born and get rid of your children. God the Father said this. Do you imagine everyone was happy with God the Father? You see, the problem is today that everyone wants, as soon as they can, to become their own father. Now, we don't call it that. That would be patricide, wouldn't it? But what we do is we want autonomy, a law for ourselves. Autonomos, self-law, self-governing, self-deciding, no restrictions beyond what myself desires. So we kill the fathers off as fast as we can. And we are fools for doing so. And I say this because I prayed yesterday with Abuna Ibrahim. He's now over 90 years of age, and we're not going to have him very long. I lost Abuna Bishoy Gobriel. I lost Abuna Antonius, Latif Hanayan. I lost Abuna Daniel Farag. And my father of confession for 30 years has pancreatic cancer. I'm going to lose him. And when I think about this, I cry. I cry deeply. Who's going to be my father? You know, the young man that ran away from his father, he didn't feel he was an orphan. Because you know why? He killed his father. He became his own father. But as soon as you realize, you really realize what the Father stands in place for, as soon as you get that, which is what Jesus is trying to teach you in John chapter 17, verse 11. You'll see, if Jesus did not count it robbery to be made equal to God, though he were in the form of a slave. A slave to what? A slave to our sin. Our sin, our iniquities. They obligated him to the cross. They obligated him to that propitiate sacrifice, which would, in the aggregate, take away all of the blame from us. This is fatherhood. He stands before the door. When my father and my mother died, I used to quip to my wife, you know, when the devil comes to the door, the next person he's looking for is for me. Because you know, before, your parents are going to answer the door. They're going to go. And you go, well, I still have a cushion. I don't have to get myself right yet. I don't have to correct myself yet. I still can pursue with full energy my carnal passions, my passions that are anything but holy. I'm saying this to all of you, and I hope this message goes beyond just today. If you have a father of confession, treat that father with fear and respect and with absolute obedience. Or change. Change. Find the one that you will respect. Find the one that you will obey. Find the one who tells you something, you're going to do it. Because as soon as you begin to arbitrate in your own mind the things that he has said to you, you have become your own father. You've killed him off. Oh no, what's he saying this? Who is he? Exactly, who is he? He's your father. And people have bad relationships with earthly fathers. Really bad relationships. And because of that, it attenuates their full faith in God the Father Almighty. You cannot understand fatherhood unless you have had a good father. Well, my own father was a drunk. He got into so many car wrecks that the state of California took away his license permanently by the age of 40. Not he could not somehow rehabilitate himself. No, he was beyond rehabilitation. So says the state of California. He was an embarrassment to me my entire life. But see, that wasn't the end of fatherhood for me. Because I found in a priest fatherhood. Now, is my father perfect? More perfect than me. More perfect than me. See, there is no father who is perfect. But there is no son and there is no daughter who is perfect. And should the son or the daughter stand up on their haunches and say, "Ha, look at the imperfection of my father. Behold the mirror, wayward son and lawless daughter." Look at your own imperfections. Yes, my father is more perfect than I. And should that not be the case sometime in the future? You know, we have had people who have fallen. The devil works overtime with people that are great. There was one saint in the paradise of the fathers. All of the people were gathered around in his cell. He was near the moment of his death. And he called to his disciple who had served him so many years and he said, "Bring me my staff." He's on his deathbed. "Bring me my staff." And the attendant did so in obedience. And he shook it at the window and he said, "Do you see Satan there? Tell him I am not yet too old to fight." But Satan has his victories also. And it's terrible. It's terrible when somebody great falls, because it hurts so many children. So many children. You look for another father. And you don't say, "Well, this current crop of fathers that we have right now, they are, you know, they are like the Corvettes of the 80s. They only have 230 horsepower. Today, the Corvettes, you can get one with 600 horsepower. So we're looking for a 600 horsepower father. Really? Ask yourself in each year of your life, did you learn even 1/10 of a psalm? 1/10 of a psalm. So if you're 50 years old, that means you would have learned and memorized 10 psalms. At just 1/10 a year. Are you looking for perfection in another individual when the word shouldn't even reside in your vocabulary? Don't do that. You know, when a great man is quiet in an assembly, it's because he is humble. When a stupid man is quiet in a great assembly, it's because he's fearful. Sometimes you will find people who are just a little bit out of the way, a little bit hidden, a little concealed. Because they don't want what they have to be taken away, and the number of interactions a priest has in the course of a year are all contests for his own soul. Because you must tell people things that you would have to do if God asked you to yourself. So you may not tell anybody to do anything at any time that you yourself would not do. Otherwise, you would be like the Jews that the Lord called hypocrites, saying that you will not pick up any of the burdens, the smallest of the burdens that you lay on people's heads. But not so for a priest or bishop. Bishops, by the way, are nothing but priests with a bigger hat. But their sense of fatherhood. Remember how we went through the exposition on the Gospel of Luke by St. Cyril? And I said, remember, what is St. Cyril first? He's a Christian before anything else. Number two, he's a father before anything else. Number three, he's a theologian before anything else. Number four, he is an ordained servant of the church before anything else. And when I say before anything else, before his own hunger, before his own joy, before his own satisfaction, before any of those things, he has to take care of that first set of criteria that define him. So we are going to look at the passage that is before us in the gospel, and from the point of view of these things that we know about St. Cyril, we are going to begin to interpret it. And we come really close, because we see the difference between St. Cyril looking at Scripture as a man, as just a man, a human being who needs the Lord as much as any of us. And we see him then as a defender of the faith, as patriarch and theologian, when he's speaking to Nestor or any of the others. But always remember, Jesus gives this example. Yes, God is holy. God is completely unapproachable. You know, when you see a small child running around, and you know they get into trouble, sometimes when Alex is running around, I will give him a face, and then he will run as fast as he can to one of his parents and put his arms around their leg, because that's all that he can reach. That response coming from an adult towards God is altogether acceptable. We should see our Lord in this same way. He's a pillar of comfort, a pillar of safety, a pillar of the truth, a pillar of righteousness. And we can happily use his strength. He will not give us stintingly. But we must ask aright in our prayer. We must not ask for things that are superficial. Shame on you if you bring the profane into your spiritual life. They must be distinct. Just as we have a Sinea. You can all see it. It's exposed on the altar. Well, it's covered now. I beg your pardon. But the Sinea will be on the altar. That Sinea is not used for a single thing except for the body of the Lord. Yet, the metal worker who made that Sinea may have made in that day 20. How did the others wind up? Maybe on the table of a rich person holding a cluster of grapes. What's the difference? In the Sinea, nothing. Nothing. Except the use to which it will be put. When you do not allow yourself to be put to an incorrect use, you may say, I am holy and I belong to the Lord. But if not, you belong to the world. And you will have what the world has to give. I hope you are paying attention to exactly what the world is trying to give. To have a father is the most important thing in the world. When you get to be very old, I was about to ask Abuna Ibrahim, but there wasn't time. Who does he confess to? Because there isn't anybody any older than Abuna Ibrahim. So that means that he must call someone who is younger than him father. If you live long enough, so it will be with all of you. You will be the oldest. But that's not what consists of fatherhood. Remember Mark, how young he was, how young Timothy was. You know, St. Paul said to Timothy, don't let anyone despise your youth. He was the bishop of Crete. So, find a father. Invest in that man. And you will have safety and you will have peace. You know, when the Lord sends a servant on a mission, the servant is not responsible for the success of the mission. He is only responsible for doing what the Lord has said, whether the mission is fruitful or not. That depends on other factors. But did the servant carry out his responsibility honestly? If you do that, the gates of heaven will be open wide before you. Remember that. This is Father's Day. God the Father Almighty. Now, I didn't do this on Mother's Day, but I am well prepared to speak about motherhood, and perhaps I will next year. But never forget this. If you think for a single moment that you are greater than your father, then you are on the way to killing him. Remember the prodigal son? Many, many, many expositors of that verse, when he said, Father, give the portion of your goods that will fall to me on your death. So, die. Die, old man. Die. Give me the wealth that you accumulated. Die. When you start to criticize your father, thinking that you are better than your father, you are a fool. And I remind you again, look at John chapter 17, verse 11, and see. Jesus, who is God, is saying, Father. And he is doing so for us. Glory be to his holy name, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.